Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One. Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we got news, and then we got All Balls, All Sports with Danny Cordenred, who you'll be interested to hear about. Very interesting story. We'll get into that in a second. First, I'll tell you about Bet Online Football. It's back, everyone. And you want to get in on some of the action, make this weekend's matchups a little more exciting. How about Vikings at Texans, Steelers at Titans, Bills at Raiders? It's going to be a good game. Patriots at Chiefs. I like that game. That's going to be a fun one to watch. Chargers at Buccaneers. Another good one. Eagles at 49ers. More options to wager than anywhere online, from spreads and totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on division and championship futures as well. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. All you do is visit betonline.ag, our exclusive partner at Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking viral. All those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Deep news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Let's start out with some celebrity lawsuits, shall we? A former bodyguard has accused Kris Jenner of sexual harassment. And I don't know if you saw this on TMZ yet, Adam. Mark McWilliams, if not, you'll scoop him. Mark McWilliams is suing the momager, claiming he was subject to a pattern of unwanted and unwelcome sexual advances while working for Kris Jenner and Kourtney Kardashian. According to court documents obtained by Us Weekly, Kris made comments of an overt sexual nature toward him, allegedly commenting on his physical appearance, asking about his sex life, and suggesting they engage in a romantic and sexual relationship. He's 64. He claims that Jenner demonstrated non-consensual physical contact with him, and her attorney denies the allegations.
You know, the problem with how we're living and when we're living is you couldn't, under the guidelines that we've sort of put in place, you can't, it would all be technically correct. You know, there's no such thing as those kinds of people spending long time together. First things first, like the guy would say on a Friday when he's leaving, hey, I got a hot date this weekend. And she'd go, knock yourself out. And then when he comes in on Monday, she's got to go, so
how'd it go?
How'd it go? You know, and then she'll say something like, I noticed you look like you've been working out, must be because of this, or whatever it is. And it would just keep going. And if you read the transcript, it would all fall under the heading of sexual harassment, whatever. The reality is somebody has a shitload of money. The other person doesn't. There were comments made back and forth. I'll guarantee this guy laughed at everything that was said, probably never felt threatened. And if you just think about any of those conversations that used to take place in the office, for instance, they would all fall under the heading of this. And now it's like, well,
time to but cash
it's
in.
All technically true. You know, she did comment on his appearance more than once. It's all that shit. I mean, people comment on your appearance constantly on this show. I think Jay Moore did it yesterday. Like I was thinking about all this fucking fakakta, you know, sensitivity training and all the racial sensitivity training and all the sexual sensitivity training that the Fortune 500 companies have to endure. And then I started thinking, so are we having less lawsuits now? Now that everyone has been through the training, wouldn't it be logical? Like, let's say the subject was CPR. Let's just say we got rid of all this fucking bullshit sensitivity training and all the bullshit sexual harassment training that all these companies have to go through now, even though they don't care, but they have to check the box for insurance reasons. If you took all that training and we just said, we'll take it and we'll just make it emergency medical attention, how to do a tourniquet, how to do chest compressions, how to do fire training and blah, blah, blah. Well, then 20 years later, you would see less deaths at the workplace because more people knew how to apply these techniques when their coworker choked on a ham sandwich or had a heart attack or whatever. This is more lawsuits since the training began. Since all this indoctrination came about, we now have more lawsuits. So how do you explain that?
It would be like with all the CPR training, I would sit there and go, I didn't realize that time I was eating, I was actually choking.
Right. Well, there's a lawsuit.
It's a little bit of a Streisand effect where I imagine it has to be that a certain percentage of people are like, you know, in these trainings back in the day, like, oh, that's... That counts as sexual harassment?
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, you're just giving them ideas.
You're just saying, essentially, anyone who says anything that's unwanted, I mean, we're at the point where you can't ask people where they're from. You know, not in the sexual, but this is the racial stuff. Like, if somebody has an accent, you can't ask them where they're from. It's all just a fucking cottage industry. It's not a move toward fixing anything, and it never helps. It always just fucking ends up going in the wrong direction. And now, and plus, anyone who has money is eventually going to get sued by their bodyguard or their maid or their nanny or whatever. That's the way it works because it's impossible. According to the guidelines, to have that kind of relationship that's that intimate with somebody, literally your bodyguard, without them overhearing things, without them. By the way, they're going to be in the limousine after the girls go out drinking and climb into the limousine because you guys went down to Nobu on PCH and you had a bunch of cocktails and you all get back in the car and whatever you 6-year-old chicks were talking about with the one dude sitting in the back of the stretch limo with you and your buddies. You don't think something's going to come out a little inappropriate there?
Yeah, and I get. I know this is the third rail all of a sudden, which is we're in a new era. But you mentioned a word earlier that sort of lit something up in my brain. You said he probably didn't feel threatened. When it's the other way around and like someone's big and lumbering and you feel kind of cornered or whatever, of course you feel a little threatened. What are the chances that he felt physically or even emotionally threatened by Kris Jenner and Kourtney Kardashian?
He ain't, first off. With the great
He's a bodyguard.
With the great Kevin Costner, have ever felt threatened by Whitney Houston? Number one. Number two, then you're in the wrong fucking profession if you can't handle a little threat or a little aggression, especially if it's invisible. Blah. Nothing worse than a pussy. Is there anything worse than a pussy? This guy's obviously a fucking huge pussy. All right, good. He's done. So he'll get paid out and they'll give him...
That's his retirement plan.
Yeah, that's his retirement plan. All right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I was going to follow this up with another something in the same vein, but we've been over it. Essentially, Paris Hilton is really doubling down on her efforts to get this Provo Canyon school shut down. Even though they're under new management, it's not the same people that were there when she was there, but she's banded together with a lot of former students, we'll say. And just so we know, the school is described as an intensive psychiatric youth residential treatment center. Because remember, we don't say reform school anymore, even though it's probably a little different. And she talks about that in her doc. So she, even though they're under new management, she wants the Provo Canyon School to pay for their...
Well, maybe the ground is haunted, like a Indian burial ground or something.
Yeah, like a cemetery.
Back to Poltergeist. Adam, it's only Provo is only 45 minutes out of Salt Lake.
Mm.
You got to swing by and take a look at the sights.
I should swing by. What side of the arch is that on, Chris? Is that the north or the south side of the arch?
Yes.
Do we drive through the arch to get there, or do we go around the arch?
I heard you can drive through it.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay. All right.
We'll find out.
Dolores.
Yeah. We should go over there and just do a little surprise spot check.
Yeah.
I come
sure
in there.
Sure, they'll let you right in.
Mm-hmm. It's a Sears shopper style, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. My feeling with places like that are sort of like, there's real problems. I mean, you know, you go outside, you know, Paris Hilton lives in Los Angeles, walk out your front door, see a bunch of people, humanity flopped out on the sidewalk, shooting up and vomiting on themselves and go, at least the kids at that school got better than they do.
Yeah, you're right. And that just reminded me, I sent this to Chris, I think yesterday, Chris, if you have that tweet that I sent you, somebody sent this to us at the Conway show. And I thought, oh, no. I mean, even though Tim would appreciate it, you directed this to the wrong person. Somebody tweeted me last night that said a friend texted this to me tonight. She works in property management. And this is the tweet, and I think you have it as well, but it says, OMG, I just got off a Zoom meeting with the guys from city council, Rue's office. I think it's Andrew Rue, whatever his name is, and LAPD regarding the homeless problem, and you would have lost your mind. They basically said, learn their names and welcome them into your community.
I was talking to Mini Matt, Good Matt, some people know him as, Matt DeAndrea from our CarCast show, and he was jogging, and he was talking to me while he was jogging, and while he was talking to me, he lives in Venice, he was jogging, and he goes, I got to cross the street, I'm coming up on a homeless encampment, meaning they'd taken up the whole sidewalk, yeah. And you have to go out in the street. Yeah,
they don't even take tour buses to Venice anymore.
The thing about Venice is the same thing about schools, the same thing about L.A., same thing about anything. If, in fact, you do not want to manage a problem, it shall then grow. It is no different than ivy. You may have ivy on the side of your house or the wall or the trellis or whatever, but you must go out and manage it. And if you just sort of go, fuck it, it'll take care of itself, or don't be mean to the ivy, then it's just going to grow. It's just going to go. It's just nature. You know, we look at this as sort of humans. It's really just nature. It's humanity. It's nature. It's a bunch of people who need psychiatric help. It's a bunch of people who have addictions. And this notion that we still argue about this sort of problem, like, well, it's housing, low-cost housing, apartments are too expensive, the rent's too expensive, this notion that there's some correlation between the physical home and crazy people shooting up on the sidewalk, the fact that that's about all we got out of the experts seems criminally negligent to me. The amount, I mean, and sometimes they'll go, well, many are addicted, many have pre-existing emotional condition. Yeah, but substitute the word many for fucking all, and who do you know is of sound mind and sound body who's physically out of a job that's just flopping on the floor? It's all fucking drugs. It's all schizophrenia. It's insane that we can't even categorize it now. These are homeless people. All right. Well, they need a home. No, that's not why they're homeless. They're mentally insane and they're on drugs. Matt tells me all times, like, they just pull up in campers. They just do drugs out on the sidewalk. They just deal drugs out of the campers. Like, it's a fucking shit show. It's not going to fix itself. You have to fix it. And the way you fix it is you become an adult. And you actually govern. You have to govern. You have to go in and go, this is unacceptable. Sorry. And at some point, the ACLU is going to go, you can't make those people leave the park. And you go, fuck you. And you move them. That's how it works. Or you step back, you turn a blind eye, and it just grows. It just grows. And then eventually, people can't walk. I mean, how ripshit would you be if you had a house in Venice and there's just a fucking camper parked in front of your house and the guy's dealing drugs? You know, your kids to walk down to the corner or walk to school? It can go no other way. There is no fix for it. There's no grant or affordable housing grant or new facility. There's nothing you can do. You have to go enforce the laws and you have to address it, or this. And that's what we have. We don't have a mayor in Los Angeles who wants to, like, here's the whole thing. It's like New York was falling apart. Giuliani came in and went, fuck it. We're going to stop people. We're going to frisk them. We're going to ask them where they're going. And then everyone got their panties in a bunch. And they went, you can't stop people and just ask them where they're going or whatever. And it's like, well, okay. But there's only one direct route to fixing this problem, whether it's crime or homelessness. You have to do something. And along the way, when you do those things, you're going to inevitably cross a few lines, hurt a few feelings, stop some innocent people, ask them questions, frisk some innocent teens. Of course it's going to happen. It can't not happen. But there's only one direct route to fixing this, and that's it. We don't really govern here per se, unless it has to do with automobiles, and then we over govern. We just step back. You just step back and let sort of nature take its course. That it's just nature. It's exactly what it is. Just move to the places that are hospitable. Venice is hospitable. The climate's good. The government is good if that's what you want to do, and that's what you do.
Well, and it's like, you know, just to tie this into the beginning of the show about your motor and about discipline, for micro and macro, it's the path of least resistance.
Yeah.
And we all gravitate toward it.
Everyone would do what you have to do as long as someone, most people will do what they want to do given the chance to do it. That's most people. Unfortunately, that's when the society kicks in and the rules kick in and the regulations kick in. And unfortunately, we have to enforce those rules. And we do a lot of it here for building and permits and parking. You know, think about how good everyone is with parking. Just think about where you are of parking, right?
It's always, well, good luck parking in the aforementioned Venice.
Right, right. But so you make something important. I'll give you an example. Like, driving in the Diamond Lane, it's, you know, $375 fine. They really enforce the shit out of it because I see them enforcing it, and they know when the peak traffic times are. And so look at it this way. You'll be driving home. I'll be driving home from this studio. All four lanes will be packed, and there'll be a wide open lane for the Diamond Lane, wide open. And many people will be in the lane right next to the Diamond Lane, crawling forward at 9 miles an hour with a wide open Diamond Lane. But yet not many takers, not many people venture into that lane, and almost none in the stretch that I'm on. So why not? Why don't they do it? It's open. It's there.
It's
not worth the dice roll.
Does everyone want to do it? Yes, everyone wants to do it. Who does it? Well, it's $375 and they're on it because they know you want to do it. All right. So it works. At least the enforcement of the Diamond Lane works. People could argue the sanity of having an open lane with nobody in it in the middle of traffic. But okay, that works. On the other hand, what if they didn't enforce the Diamond Lane?
The anarchy.
We wouldn't have a Diamond Lane. Yeah, there wouldn't be another lane.
Yeah, everyone would just immediately pile into it. Yeah. That's how people work. That's how citizens work, sadly. So you let them park the RV out in front of the house in Venice, and they'll live there rent-free. All right, let me hit Geico, and then we'll do one more, Gina Grad. Geico, right now, Geico is offering an extra 15% credit on car, motorcycle, and RV policies. That's 15% on top of the money Geico could already be saving you. So what are you waiting for? Get going, man, with Geico. There's never been a better time to switch than now. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Visit geico.com to learn more today. All right, one more, Gina Grad.
Okay, well, in terms of enforcing and in honor of Vinny being on the show, this might be an interesting one in case you haven't heard. Mexico has one of the highest rates of obesity-related death in the world, and one-third of Mexican children are categorized as obese. So in an effort to combat that, two Mexican states have banned the sale of junk food to minors. So no one under 18 can buy chips, candy, or processed food from supermarkets and convenience stores.
Oh, man. The cartels got one more fucking thing they can now deal in, Cheetos. Like, what do you guys do? We do prostitution, we do narcotics, we do gambling, we do contract killing, and then we do Nilla wafers, we do Dub bars.
Hey, man, you got any of the shit?
Many other states are moving toward this as well in Mexico.
Well, it is interesting that the Vinny related, the Mexican diet is so much rice and beans and tortilla. Like, it's so fucking starchy. Like, it's so insanely starchy that every time, like, you think, oh, we're eating beans. Like, no, you shouldn't be eating all those beans. Like, you think of beans is good. That's got a lot of carby in it. There's tortillas with every meal has three tortillas, rice and beans every meal. And it's like, yeah. And they ain't down with the yogurt. They like the beef and the beans. They are a savory culture. And don't get me going on horchata. So, yeah, I'm not surprised at all.
Do something about it.
It's practically free. Like, I mean, you can get a You can go get like a 50 pack of tortillas for like $1.69. I mean, it is 4 inches high, 5 inches around. Corn tortillas, you can get a brick of those things, like 50 of them in there. It's like, it's fucking free. So,
well,
yeah,
that may or may not end up being addressed in the future, but at least they can tackle the Takis and Doritos and candy.
Well, it'll be interesting. It'll be a little interesting experiment to see if they can make this one work or what effect it has. Mm-hmm. Like if they can pull it off, if they can enforce it, and then what the weights of these kids are like in 5 years, because, hey, if it's effective, you know, I'm not so libertarian that I'm like free everything, free do whatever you want, have whatever you want. If we got a bunch of obese kids and it's costing us because of their medical stuff as a society, then society does get a vote on what your kids eat. All right, let's bring it home, Gina Grad.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad.
That was the news with Gina Grad.
Last but not least, we got Simply Safe. Just 15 seconds for our friends at Simply Safe. Protect your home. Do it today. Get free shipping at simplysafe.com/Adam. All right. We're going to say bye to Gina and Bald Brian. We'll see you guys at Salt Lake City coming up. We'll be taping those shows, so we got live shows coming as well. Probably a few tickets left for the early show and for me and Mark Garagos's. We're doing a matinee show at 4 o'clock, a Reasonable Doubt, so come check that out. Danny Cortenraid is an amazing soccer marketing guru and entrepreneur, just one of the most impressive guys you're ever going to meet. So we're going to talk to him. We'll talk to Cesario. We'll do the sports, and we'll do it right after this.
It's time to break down the game film and look at the X's and O's, the KOs and the O-Nos from the world of sports. BetOnline presents All Balls, All Sports.
Good day. It's time for the BetOnline guest chair. Today, serial entrepreneur, managing partner at Wanna Haves and 433, big digital media firms. He's determined to blow up soccer in America. Danny Cortenraid. Danny, you've met the ace man sitting right next to you. How are you today?
I'm doing great.
All right, pull your mic right up under you. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all good. Right.
Yeah, it's good.
All right.
Where are you from, Danny?
I'm from Amsterdam, so from Europe. And I moved from Europe to New York City 2 years ago, and now living for 3 months in L.A.
So I was talking to Mike August, who books the show, whose dad's a football, American football coach. He played football. I played American football, and we love football. But he was saying football is kind of dying, and it's kind of dying like boxing is dying, in the sense that people just don't want their kids to suffer that kind of trauma. And I get it, like all the negatives, head trauma and joint work and all that kind of stuff. And so he's like, I think soccer is going to be the wave of the future. Now, this country tried soccer with Pelé and a lot of that stuff like in the 70s, and it didn't really take. And then it kind of came back and it got some momentum with the Olympics and such. So it has its little peaks and it pops up and gets hot for 10 minutes. And somebody that we like, somebody charismatic, comes to the fore, and then it kind of dips down again. How would you approach soccer in this continent?
Yeah, great question. So in Europe, soccer is huge. It's the biggest sports.
Right.
Now here in the United States, that's also the main reason why I moved. So 4-3 is the biggest soccer community in the world with 50 million followers.
Right.
We see a big opportunity here. The kids already playing soccer from a young age.
Right.
And you see also within the MLS, it's growing. So
yeah, obviously, everyone wants their kid to get exercise. No one wants their kid to have brain damage. So soccer seems like a pretty good way to do that. And Europe is weird. Like, we're weird because F1 is huge in Europe. I love car racing. I love F1. It bothers me that NASCAR is so much bigger than F1 here. But I do feel like F1 is growing here as well. And is there some corollary with soccer and F1 growing in the United States?
I love racing, to be honest. I saw all the things in the racing cars here. I did racing from young age, go-karting. So that's also a really interesting conversation. Yeah, I really love racing and also go to the Formula One in Belgium, Monaco, all those things. So that's also a really interesting conversation.
Well, if you walk 100 feet from here after the show, I'll show you a bunch of race cars if you want
really?
To see them.
Yeah, I definitely want to see them. Yeah, I love it. There is a thing, yeah. So NASCAR is big, Formula One is big in Europe. And again, I think we see a big opportunity with soccer here. If you look at the numbers, so NFL, $60 billion revenue, MLS now $1 billion. So there is still a big gap. But if you see in 2007, Toronto FC was bought for $10 million. Mm-hmm. But if you now want to buy a franchise in the MLS, it's $325 million. So you see it's growing fast.
Yeah. Well, a real good yardstick to measure the growth of a sport is just how much is a franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a pretty sort of straightforward way to judge how popular a sport is. A friend of mine's construction company, built the soccer facility stadium that's right by the Coliseum. Have you been out to that one, Jeff? Have you seen that one?
I have not yet. No, I haven't seen it yet.
It's beautiful. It's, you know, it's not as big as the Coliseum, obviously. It's probably maybe 20,000. I think,
right.
Did the Chargers play there? No, I'm not sure if the Chargers played there the first season. No, they were somewhere else. I've made
they
that
played
up.
Down at home with the old home.
Right,
stadium,
right. This is kind of that. I don't even know who our hometown soccer team is, but do they play there? And do you know what I'm talking about, that facility that's right off the Coliseum?
No, to be honest, no. But there's so much going on. So they're building. So I don't know exactly that building, to be honest. But yeah, again, they are playing well now in the and the World Cup is coming. I think that's also a super important topic.
Is America was always I always describe this. Well, Jeff will like this because he's a comedian. But I would always say, like, when people would say. I'd say, like, why you live in Los Angeles? Everyone's a horrible driver in Los Angeles. And they'd say, why? I'd ask, why? And I'd go, because everyone here is from another place and their grandparents didn't drive. They rode a donkey. And now there's a kind of first generation, second generation. It's not in their blood. And then I'd say, we have the best athletes in the world. Why can't we win soccer on an international level? And they'd say, because we didn't grow up playing soccer. It was sort of the same argument. Even though we could do it, we didn't grow up with it. Well, now it's been long enough, I would say, that we're now going to have a bunch of kids growing up with soccer, right?
Yeah, for sure.
And then the game changes. If you watch MMA from 15 years ago, you'll see a completely different sport because they didn't grow up with MMA. They grew up wrestling and boxing, and when they're having to cobble them together, like saying, well, this guy grew up playing football, American football or baseball, and now we have to teach him the soccer. But now there's a generation where they just grew up with it, and thus the skill level's greater, right?
100%. I think that's a super important thing. If I talk with the people in the United States, all of their kids are playing soccer. So I think that's a super important thing. And don't forget the women. They achieved already the World Cup, right? So they are playing on a very good level.
Well, maybe that gets back to my hypothesis, which is the women got better at it faster because the women started playing soccer, whereas the men were still playing American football and baseball and those other sort of predominant sports. Women probably... More women 20 years ago probably played soccer in high school than men did, or it was more predominant.
Yeah.
So when's the World Cup coming?
When is it? 2026 is the World coming. The World Cup coming. So, and this is the moment. You need to be now here in the United States, preparing all the things and be there as a company. So that's also the reason why we here with 433. So, again, that's the biggest soccer community. We work closely with MLS. That's an official partner.
Mm-hmm.
LA Galaxy from here. So, LAFC, but also the clubs in Europe. So, FC Barcelona, Real Madrid, PSG. And we work with them to see, okay, how can we help and leverage our network? So, we have 1 billion views per week on this channel.
God, yeah. People love soccer.
Yeah, yeah. It's still the biggest sports in the world.
Do you think that soccer, if I'm trying to draw a parallel between soccer and F1 being so huge worldwide, but in Europe, and then football, American football, and NASCAR, the Europeans, I see everything through the lens of an automotive manufacturer. And we like big American muscle in your face, throwing revs, you know, Vin Diesel doing a donut in the center of, you know, Burnoutville because it's got a Hemi in it. And the Europeans are finesse oriented. And to me, there's a correlation there. There's F1 is much more finesse version yep. of racing yep. and NASCAR is just like bump draft and get up this guy's ass and spin him out and bang into him. I mean, NASCARs have steel wheels with five lugs on it. F1 didn't have steel wheels with five lugs for 70 years. Like the technology, the finesse, you know what I mean? And uh-huh. and soccer, as much as it can bore me at times, it's a finesse. Yep. It's much more finesse rather than Earl Campbell's putting his chest into your, putting his head, the crown of his head into your sternum and just running you over. Do you think it's a finesse thing?
Yeah, 100%. I think I like how you make the comparison.
I draw pictures with words, right?
Visual. I'm just seeing the pictures here. So I really like. And what do you prefer, to be honest? That was also just the question, what I want to ask
well,
you.
Well, I'm weird because I like F1 and road racing. I like the finesse. I love the Goodwood Festival and all the stuff in Europe. I love the European road racing stuff. As a matter of fact, just to tell you, and just so you don't fall asleep, Jeff, when I made my doc, I made a documentary about Carroll Shelby, and everyone knows Shelby Mustang and Shelby Cobra and stuff like that, you know, but Shelby, who's a chicken farmer from Texas, he went to Europe and he drove these European sports cars, the Maserati Birdcage, you know, these really lightweight little things, and Ferraris and Aston Martin and things like that. And they all had these small displacement engines, but they had to make it up with lightweight handling, agility, and whatever. And so, because they had all these road courses there, it wasn't just about going in an oval. And Shelby figured out that he learned all about lightweight cars and braking and handling and that instead of just brute horsepower. But then he had the idea, what if I take one of these lightweight little cars that handles well and brakes well and it'll go the direction I point it. And then I take this big fat American lump engine, I shoehorn it into that. Then I'll have the best of all worlds. That's what he did. And that's why we know the guy's name today. So for me, I like the violence of American football, but I love the finesse of F1. So I'm sort of an international man
in
of
between.
Mystery.
Yeah, yes. That's good. No, but yes. That's great. And to come back on your question, so I think also one thing what's important and what's a big difference with soccer, and if you look to the NFL or NBA, they don't score that much, right? In NBA, there's so much action the whole time, and you have so much points. And with soccer, you can get lucky if it's 3-2 or whatever.
Right.
So there is not that much. There is enough action, but I think not if you compare it with NBA or the NFL, if you ask me.
Right. So you're kind of saying in the NBA, when the Lakers go up on the who are they playing? Magic? Nuggets?
Miami Heat.
Miami Heat, yeah.
Yeah, the Heat. So like when they're up and they're up 17 points with 2.5 minutes left, the Heat's not coming back. Like they're just not gonna, win the game. But in soccer, if you're up a goal or even two goals with a few minutes left, it's winnable.
Yeah,
I mean technically, it's winnable. Jeff, let's see. Let me hit Bet Online here, which is our sponsor. Finally, wait is over. Football, that's American football. That is back and. They're up, let's see, games coming up this weekend. Vikings at Texans, Steelers at Titans, Bills at Raiders, Chargers at Buccaneers, Patriots at Chiefs, which I think that's going to be an interesting game. Eagles at 49ers, more options to wager than anywhere else online, from spreads to totals to props. Get in on season opening bonuses and wager on divisional and championship futures. Head to BetOnline today. Take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Just visit BetOnline.ag, our exclusive partner, Podcast One. Don't forget promo code Podcast One for your sign-up bonus today. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts, I should say. The other thing that's kind of interesting with soccer and the United States, but especially here in Southern California, is the demographic. It's pretty heavily Latin out here, and they love their soccer. So when I was growing up here, it was all Anglo, pretty much, and nobody cared about soccer. Then you have a bunch of people come here from a place that's really into soccer, and now it's 50% folks that are from a place that are into soccer, and now you have this big market for soccer. You must have thought of this.
100%. No, that for us, especially Latin America, is super important. So we're tapping into the market. The people within Latin America are so passionate about soccer. So last week, I had a conversation, for example, with the VP from Adidas to see, okay, what can we do and how can we give the new athletes also exposure on the channel, talking with the different leagues, the clubs. So for us, it's super important, this market. And that's also one of the reasons why I'm now here in LA and tapping into the market.
I'm just launching this, and you guys tell me if you can think of this young guy's name. There was a young black phenom about 3 years ago, came onto the soccer world, and he was like incredibly young, and he was a phenom, and I don't know what's happened to him. I haven't heard much from him. I don't know if he's still a phenom, and I can't think of this dude's name. And
I think he had one name, and I think he wound up in the MLS somewhere, and he may still be playing.
Freddie Adu.
He played on the national
Freddie
team.
Freddie Adu.
Freddie, 15, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, was he 15?
It's Freddie. He was born in 89. Yeah, he was from the first time of his signing with DC United, age 14. He was spoken as of the next Pele. However, he failed to live up to the expectations after leaving DC and became a journeyman.
He's a journeyman. God, I mean, I thought the guy was 15 10 minutes ago. You're telling me?
Yeah.
Telling me he's 31? I did not. I'm old, man.
Yes,
31. Now. So I'm a young guy. He's 14. That was back in May, I think. And it's like, nah, he's 31. He's a journeyman. Now, is there a phenom that is there a young person that we think is going to be the next, you know, Michael Jordan of soccer, or Pele of soccer, or Ronaldo? What's Ronaldo's last name?
Christian Ronaldo.
Is there the next Christian or Beckham? Is that person coming? Is Ronaldo still Ronaldo? Is he still that good, that dominant?
Yeah, he's the best. Of course, that's a good. I think a lot of people. Okay. So you have Messi,
right? Yeah. Right.
And Cristiano Ronaldo. Those are the GOAT, right? So that's an interesting conversation. Also, if you ask that question on our channel, you get a really debate about this topic. From okay, who's the best and who's the biggest player? Just from my personal perspective, but that's because I like this person a lot. And again, I'm from Amsterdam, so you have their Ajax, that's a club. And they really teach the children from a young age. They have a very good training facility. So one of them is Donny van de Beek. He was a young guy, played at Ajax, and is now just playing for Manchester City. So Manchester. So that's a really good thing from my perspective.
You know, it's also kind of interesting, Jeff, you should weigh in on this one, which is in football, American football, so many people have such promising careers and then they have an injury and they have a bad injury and some guys don't come back from those injuries, you know. And in soccer, it seems like those injuries are much fewer and far between. And so these guys keep going on. I mean, there's guys in the NFL who dominated the league last year, got injured, and you don't hear about these guys anymore. Soccer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Age will get you in soccer before injury most of the time. You just slow down at some point and there's nothing you can do about it. As great a shape as a guy like Ronaldo stays in, or Neymar, or any of these guys, at some point you're 34 and you're done. I mean, there's a 19-year-old flying by you for Chelsea and it's over. So that's very interesting. And we do admire the speed and the finesse in American football when a running back gets loose or when a receiver gets loose. So I think we have the capacity to do it, but we need it in a setting that combines the violence. It'll be interesting for me to see how you use, Danny, that incredible database to try to blow up soccer a little bit here. Clearly you're peaking for 2026. So you got 6 years to do it. What's the plan? Do you just are you posting things? Are you going to try to interweave your database with some marketing or something? I mean, that's the one advantage you have over what Adam was talking about earlier, which is we've been doing youth soccer for 50 years now, and it still is not getting the traction anybody'd hoped. What the advantage you have is that giant database. How are you going to use it?
Yeah, great question. That's the thing. So for us, data is super important. That's the thing for us. So again, 50 million followers, more 5 billion views per month, so more than 1 billion per week. All the data we collected and analyzed. So what we do on a daily basis, we post so much content on this channel all about soccer, and then analyze everything. So we're working, again, together with the clubs, but also with the Nikes from this world, Adidas, Puma, Heineken. And this is what we collect and we'll use also here in the United States to see, okay, what can we do with the data? We have different channels, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter. Instagram is the biggest, but we will see what we can do is all collect the data and to see, okay, what can we do in the end with it? And measure everything and come up with campaigns. So we have three different revenue models. The most important is really the branded content piece. So working together with the brands. Then the e-commerce angle. So we're now talking with Nike, that's already a partner for us for 4 years, to see, okay, what can we do with the e-commerce? Because they also can reach a niche. People are very passionate about soccer. And if you then put something like a jersey or shoes on the channel, then it will engage and you can, at the end, you can sell the products. So that's super important. And the third is high premium content. So, for example, we're now planning a campaign, a documentary with Jonathan Dos Santos. He's a player from LA Galaxy. And we will create content around his life and then put this on the channel.
Oh, we should definitely talk because we make documentaries about race car drivers. So,
really?
Yeah. So we can make one about a soccer player if you got a checkbook. We'll talk about that. Hey, Jeff, you want to do our picks?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's dive right into the Bet Online NFL Pick'em Pool. Let's review the standings here. Why not? Because I'm tied for first. Jim Beaver from Podcast One Sportsnet. These are all Podcast One Sportsnet folks. Jim Beaver, me, and Chris Meyer have 8 points. Chael Sonnen, the MMA dude, 7 points. Adam, you have 6 points. You're tied with Shaq, so you're in good company. 6 points, but I think you may be able to make it up this week. Pretty good lineup of games. Indianapolis Colts at Chicago. I'm sorry, Danny. This is blood and guts, brutal American football. Indianapolis Colts at the Chicago Bears. Bears getting 2 at home. What do you think?
Bears getting 2 at home.
Against the Colts.
The Colts are pretty good with Rivers now. He's getting time. He's stringing the ball around. Bears brought their quarterback off the bench. He came in. Foles had a good game. I don't think he's going to have a good game now. I'm going to go with the Colts.
I'm going Bears. Chargers at Tampa Bay Bucks. Bucks giving 7.5. So Bucks favored by 7.5 over our Los Angeles Chargers, who played in one of our soccer stadiums for about a year and a half.
I'll go with the Chargers just for the half. I say they'll get beat by a touchdown, but the half will give me the win.
I'm going Bucks. I think it's huge, and they're at home. I think it's big. Let's go New England Patriots at the Kansas City Chiefs. Chiefs are favored by 7, one touchdown over the Patriots.
The Chiefs looked unbeatable against the Ravens on Monday night. I think there's going to be a little letdown, and Cam Newton is playing lights out quarterback, and I just can't bet against Belichick. So I'm going to go with the underdog. I'm going to go with the Patriots.
I don't think Mahomes knows how to take a week off. I'm going with the Chiefs and the Bet Online Super Game. Buffalo Bills at the Las Vegas Raiders. Raiders getting 3. Bills favored by 3. But it's in Las Vegas, so the Vegas boys are at least sleeping in their own beds. What do you think?
Yeah, they both look pretty good. Obviously, the Bills almost lost to my Rams last week. Questionable call at the end of the game. I like Chucky and the boys at home on their home turf. I'm going to take the Raiders in that game.
Me too. I think that's the first game we agreed on in the lineup. That is your Bet Online NFL Pick'em Pool. And that's it. I'm Jeff Cesario for All Balls, All Sports.
All Balls, All Sports. Presented by Bet Online, your online sportsbook expert.
Well, Danny can be found, the website, and I'll spell it out. Danny, that's spelled as you know it. Last name, CORTENRAEDE.com is where you can go. Same with the Instagram as well and Twitter as well. Danny, this has been fascinating. And if you want to go look at some race cars, we can take a walk and race cars.
Yeah, I'm in.
So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Danny Cordenrade and Jeff Cesario and Ball Bryan and Gina Grad and Vinny Tortorich saying mahalo.
The Adam Carolla Show brought to you by Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pick up Adam's book, I'm Your Emotional Support Animal. It's available everywhere. Get all the links at adamcarolla.com.
Hey, movie lovers. Who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.